Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Then we've got this. This is, by the way, about your complimentary mail. Rick, you know what kind of guy listens to Jolie? Guys who clip and save Kathy comics and tape them to the refrigerator next to a postcard with kittens playing in a basket of yarn. Guys who live alone and wear trench coats and had a fedora in high school. Those are Jolie's fans. Yep. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-737-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up this hour, by the way, we got today's top five Tom Petty songs of all time. It's that guy's 50th birthday today. Happy birthday to him. By the way, you don't have that Grateful Dead sticker on your car, do you?
What, did you see my car?
I thought that was you.
It
was
just talking about?
It's just a guess. I saw a car with a Grateful Dead sticker out back, and I just took a wild stab that it was you. That explains a lot.
Shut up.
This explains you're probably like three sheets to the chemical wind when you come up with your responses to things. All right, so we'll come back. We'll finish this email. We'll finish this topic here in just a moment. And then we got the top five coming up. More details on the listener party, your phone calls, etc. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Here's Tim Riley in the KFTK Newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
It'll be a while before two Florida National Guard soldiers who married Iraqi women against orders can return home with their brides. Their commanders order them not to marry, but love has won out. Both men are Christians who have converted to Islam so they can be married under Iraqi law.
You know, guys are such nitwits. Not that there's anything wrong with being a Muslim, but guys will just jump through the most ridiculous and extraneous hoops just to get some. You know what I mean? It's just a guy over there. Look, I don't mean to bust in anybody's relationship. Maybe it's true love. I'm just saying, guys over in Iraq, haven't seen any women for like 7 months. Woman comes along willing to give it up if you embrace Allah.
They're still not seeing with a veil.
Yes. There you, I mean, you know, it's just sad. Guys are just, you know, you could just take guys and just put them in one of those, one of those big hedge mazes, like at the end of The Shining, you know? And just tell them, no, there's some women in there somewhere if you get to the end of it. And it's like they just spend all day doing it. Guys are just pathetic.
Meanwhile, students at UC Santa Barbara hit the streets calling for a truce in sexual assaults on women. The university's Rape Prevention Education Program has organized I Want a Truce campaign, which calls for a sexual assault-free weekend. Meanwhile, men are...
What kind of campus are they running down there?
Well, apparently they consider themselves lucky if they don't have an assault during a weekend.
Okay.
It's Santa Barbara.
All right.
I don't know. Have you heard about the Männergarten yet? In Germany, ladies drop off their husbands and boyfriends for the afternoon when they go shopping and pick them up later. They give them a little money, and what they get for the afternoon is two beers, a meal, a comic book, and power tool demonstrations. Most of the guys really like this.
No, I think it's the atmosphere. It's the whole makeup coming in a pub initially, and then moving to a lounge type of thing. You sit back, relax. You can read a little nonsense book. You can be educated in tools, and you can chat with friends and meet new people.
Why do we have sound bites that none of us can understand and that don't make any sense to people who speak English?
That was English with a German accent.
All right, I'm just saying. You know, here's an idea. Rather than having a kindergarten for men, you know, when you go out to buy knickers for yourself, why don't you just not drag us along with you in the first place? Would it be too much trouble just to leave us at friggin' home when you go out to buy your sweat-retaining menopausal undergarments? You know what I mean? That's a concept I just can't get over. Aren't they going to be squishy for one thing? You have a bunch of lingerie.
Yeah, it sounds like you're wearing a sponge or something.
Seriously. We were talking earlier about these lingerie that they sell for menopausal women who are having hot flashes that soaks in moisture. It's like wearing a damp washcloth, I think, at that point. That's nothing you want to be.
Undergarments made from a rare tropical gourd.
Seriously. You're just you're pressing up against somebody and just... You know, that's nothing. You know, that's you don't want any part of that. That's not going to increase your allure.
Uh-oh, there's been a Ben and J-Lo sighting, and they're in Vegas. Apparently some gambling is involved. The pair was in Vegas so Affleck could take part in a televised poker tournament, but word quickly spread about Affleck's joining the Celebrity Poker Showdown. As a result, Bravo canceled media access to the taping of the weekend event. So that's that. Oh, and Horizon Air says it's going to offer nonstop flights between L.A. and Bozeman. Get your tickets while you can.
Bozeman!
Rain this afternoon, although it isn't at the moment. High's about 70. Rain tonight, lows in the 50s, and cloudy tomorrow. Next news, when it happens, I am Tim Riley.
All right, 503-250-TONIGHTING in Portland. All right, so we got other stuff to get to, including the top five, but I want to make sure that we give this, that we don't treat this overly flippantly. So I was talking to Sarah about it during the break, and I was asking Sarah, because I told Sarah and Jolie about this How Chicks Think question. It's from a guy whose name we have removed. But he talked about acting out, and I want to stress, by the way, that it's acting out, because, of course, I know that I'm like speaking the obvious here to say that you shouldn't go raping people because it's wrong. But I'm saying he does stress in the email that they did it very safely and that it was something that, you know, that they had a long talk about before they did it. But he talked about how he and his girlfriend acted out this simulated like a rape scenario, and that he wondered if there was something wrong with him because they both thought it was a big turn on or something. And so we were talking about during the break. And so I don't know if there's something wrong with him or not. I mean, only he knows that.
He was still having sexual relations with somebody that he cares about. So it's right. Not like he was actually raping her.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I mean, whatever. First of all, because they're consenting adults, and whatever you want to do is your own deal.
And wouldn't you think that every person has that kind of primal instinct? And though, I mean, if she gives him, you know, the go-ahead, if she's like, oh, yeah, if you want to do this, that's fine, and he enjoys it, he shouldn't feel bad about it, because I bet everyone has a little bit of that, you know, inside of them.
Well, everybody's got a little weirdness inside mm-hmm. of them somehow. So
you especially.
Thanks, I appreciate that. I don't know. So I would say that you don't, I wouldn't worry about it unless you, I really wouldn't say not to worry about it in any way. I would say not to worry about it unless you find yourself having other bizarre thoughts, you know, which you may or may not. I mean, I guess I would say not to worry about it unless you start having any other thoughts or start thinking about anything else that strikes you as, you know, as strange. So in absence of supplemental evidence, I would say that you're probably not warped in any way. I'd say you're just you and your girlfriend.
He likes freaky sex.
Yeah, if the fantasies are between him and his girlfriend, that's one thing. If he starts to find himself having fantasies about doing this to other women outside of his relationship,
you got
to
take a long look at yourself. Then.
You know, get a hold of somebody.
You know what it is. It's like you always read those penthouse forums where it's all, you know, where like the girl is the 14-year-old English student coming in trying to get an A from her professor or whatever, you know, and it's like, you know, just because if you and your girlfriend are doing some play acting or whatever where she's the, you know, she has to, you know, stay after school and pound erasers or something, it doesn't mean when you want to go out and be with underage girls or whatever, you know, it's just a different thing. Because there's a whole world of difference between, you know, being a guy who would actually want to be sexually involved with young girls and being some guy who likes seeing your adult girlfriend, you know, dressed up in Mary Jane's and some pigtails. I mean, it's a whole, Salma Hayek dressed up like a schoolgirl in pigtails. It's a whole different world than like actual, you know, schoolgirls in pigtails. Just a whole separate reality. So I would say unless you start having other thoughts about it or you start thinking about it with other people, that I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't expend any brain power being stressed about it.
Yeah, I think he's okay.
All right, so there you go. All right, there's Jolie from the front desk. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Oh, by the way, it should be noted that I got this envelope today. It's a manila envelope, and it's labeled personal on the front in big letters. And so I open it, and I'm thinking, finally something for me. Finally something. Rick gets a little love from the people. They're sending him something he's really into. I've got my new copy of whatever, like Sluts Weekly or something. But no. You know what it is? It's an exciting issue of Barbecue and Beverage Magazine, which is coming. And they've laid it right there. Big thing. Personal. Rick only. Yeah, Barbecue and Beverage. 38 new recipes. Grill like a pro.
Did you get that from Tony Roma?
Two new hot grill tests. High on smoke. How to barbecue at 9,000 feet. And then right below there, salad saver tips. Right there. And then it comes with this letter. Check this out. So not only do I have Barbecue and Beverage Magazine, but I have this. It says, Rick, in an obviously cheap, sniveling, and pandering effort to grab a moment of fame on your show, I've enclosed a copy of Barbecue and Beverage Magazine. And it goes on and on about their website and whatnot. And do you know that 70% of America's population barbecues year-round, regardless of location or climate? I bet you do, too. Should you wish to do an exciting interview about barbecuing and other things, you can reach me at, you know, whatever. And then he gives his email address. Anyway, he says, I interview well, and it doesn't have to be about barbecue. Like, what else would I bring him on to talk about? It's Barbecue and Beverage Magazine.
That Beverages.
I always
He'd like to discuss the geopolitical structure between the United States, Iraq,
seriously,
and Israel.
Seriously.
Ask him to say dynamite. Can save the world.
What, Tim?
Ask him to say dynamite.
And then he says that there is no end to my pandering. There you go. And he says, thank you very much, Jim. So there you go. So if anybody's... So, Matt, if you're wanting a copy of Barbecue and Beverage Magazine...
He's eyeing it.
You can have it. There you go. All right, we're going to do this. We're going to come back. We got more around the corner. And later on today's Top 5... We got top five Tom Petty songs of all time. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080. K2K, we'll be back. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Stay there. Returning after this.
Portland. It's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
217, Tim Riley with news, brought to you by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell or trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate that car to Heritage for the Blind. That's 1-800-2-DONATE or go to taxdeduction.com. David Carradine, the master of the TV series Kung Fu, was handpicked by writer-director Quentin Tarantino to play Bill in the hit film Kill Bill. David, talk about the success of Kill Bill and its performance at the box office over the weekend.
I knew from the very beginning, the moment I read the script, I knew this thing was going to be an extremely popular movie. And I didn't have any doubts that it was going to take the weekend. You know, I hate the fact that we have to think that way anyway, but I think this movie will be being watched for, you know, maybe not as long as The Godfather, but for quite a while.
Eh, whatever.
I'd know more if I wasn't so medicated right now.
David loves Quentin Tarantino's fearlessness. He talks about why his films are so popular.
He has this ability to give you a lot of action and keep you laughing at the same time. That always works. But, and the other thing is that Quentin is always breaking fresh ground. He's always doing something that we've never seen before. In this picture, how he could manage to do that, to actually surprise us all over again, is beyond me, but he did.
I should have actually gone to see it this weekend just to keep that hideous Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake from becoming... No one... By the way, I don't know if anybody on the show saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre. If you did, I don't want to know about it. You know what it is? It's like when your wife goes out of town and she just meets that guy at the Holiday Inn bar, and you just don't want to know about it. It's like one of those things you just prefer not to know.
Okay, well, I saw Kill Bill, and it was really, really good.
So you give it the thumbs up.
Oh,
so that's
I'm going to go see it again this week.
Really? All right.
All right, I actually saw potentially the worst movie that I've ever paid money to see in a theater.
Choose your words carefully.
I'm serious. I went and saw...
I don't want to know
if
you saw the Chainsaw.
I did. I really didn't. I went and saw House of the Dead with my roommate last night. We've been on this horror kick lately.
Yeah, that was well advised.
Oh my, no, but it's so bad.
$9, you'll never get back.
It's almost one step removed from like an Ed Wood movie.
90 minutes closer to death.
Oh my god, the dialogue is you're sitting there. They're trying to be like intense, and you're laughing. I mean, it's so bad. It's good. I mean, it's worse.
Well, see, that'll actually get me to see it.
It's worse scene because it really, it's that bad.
Yeah.
It's one of those kind of movies.
Here's the thing is, it's like, I just can't, part of my thing about it is not only I have all this television I'm behind and watching at home, but it's like, but the other thing is, and I'm not complaining, don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining about it, but I'm saying part of it is, if I'm going to invest money in having, if you're going to pay the money every month to have HBO or Cinemax or what have you, and it's like, and then on top of that, you go out and you're like throwing down money at the theater, you just feel like a chump, you know what I mean? Because it's like, if I'm going to have that stuff and not watch it at home, then it's like, I might as well just go out back and set fire to my wallet. It's like, no, there's no point. So I just, I got the hot and rolled, hot and cold running entertainment at home. So I feel like a tool if I go to the theater and get bent over for like $9 a ticket. You know, you can go to the
Twilight show. That's what we went to. It was only like $5.
Freaking cheapskate show. I'm all about that.
Completely. Yeah. That 2 hour span that you can get it for $5.
Yeah. Cause there's the economy and then the Twilight. Do you go to Century 16?
Yep.
Yeah. So it's great. That last show. Of the day in the economy price.
Is that the Eastport 16 you're talking about?
Yeah.
You know, those bastards, screw them. Screw them in their wrinkled ears. Because, I don't know if they've changed this, but we've now entered official old person territory, by the way. Because it used to be that their matinee ended at like 1. They screwed you. Because, you know, any other theater, the matinee showings go to like 4. Then it shifts into regular pricing. But the Century Eastport 16, it was like they had the first showing only was matinee, which meant that any time after like 1:30 in the afternoon, it was full price. Screw them.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore.
Really?
Now their matinee is like they're all the way up to like 3:30 or 4 o'clock. And then from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock or whatever it is.
I can't believe we're even having this discussion.
Is their Twilight, which is cheaper than their matinee. And then after that, then it goes up.
I'm talking, I feel like one of those old people that's complaining that Denny's doesn't give you free coffee on your birthday anymore.
The best part about that theater is you're allowed to bring in outside food and beverages. And they're completely cool with it.
Oh, I do that anyway.
Well.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm saying instead of, you know, like sneaking stuff in inside your jacket or whatever, you can actually just like walk in with a Coke.
Really?
Yeah, and they're completely like zen with the whole thing.
It's a point of pride with me that I haven't purchased anything at a theater snack bar in like 4.5 years. Because you know, the thing is, that's where they make all their money. All their money, because they don't make any money on the movie. All their money comes from the snack bar. And so as part of my continuing hatred of the American theater chain system, I'm working on putting them out of business by refusing to eat anything there.
But you know, you can always find red vines under the seat from the person before you. They only usually want to put the rest of the box underneath.
You get some floor scrapings. Yes. Kind of like all the flavors of the rainbow at once, you do it that way. Yeah. All right. Are we in the news still?
I'm not quite done yet.
Okay.
Here's the last one. What's the best performance of a bad ass? Yes, I can say that. According to Maxim magazine, it's Al Pacino's performance of Tony Montana in the 1983 film Scarface. Other great movie bad asses include Sarah Connor, Linda Hamilton's character in The Terminator, and Bruce Lee in Enter the Dragon.
This is according to who?
Maxim magazine.
Badass.
Yeah.
I'm thinking. Sarah Connor. I put Sarah Connor above Tony Montana for one thing. I know that. Don't give me that look. You freak. Just
no.
Sarah Connor. She fought off a cyborg twice.
Well, she had help one time. She had a whole other cyborg with her.
She prevented a world apocalypse. Tony Montana. First of all, Tony Montana lost, so he couldn't be that big of a badass. He got killed at the end. You know,
like,
and he's not fighting
guys
off,
rushing into his place with machine guns.
He's not fighting off a T-800 from the future created by the Cyberdyne Corporation. There's a whole different, there's a world of badass difference there. Who was the other one? Sarah Connor, Tony Montana, and who?
Linda Hamilton.
Yeah, but who was the other?
That's Sarah Connor.
Who else? It was Tony. It was Al Pacino, Linda Hamilton, and who?
Bruce Lee.
And Enter the Dragon? Okay, I could see that. One guy, no rocket launchers, no waiting. You know? So... Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to get. Is it to say it out? It's out now. That issue.
Let's see here.
No, I have to track it. That's one of those things I'll have to buy. All right.
Well, it's gonna keep raining. Tim Riley, KOTK News.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727.
How about Bruce Willis and Die Hard?
Yeah, it's gonna be one of those things. That's gonna eat at me until I go get the whole list. I'll have to go buy it, or I'll have to go to the Plaid or something. Although the Plaid, can I just tell you that I am, man, it's like, I cannot buy anything at a store to save my life recently. We were trying to get this Plaid pantry across the street, in addition to having pools of fermenting blood outside and lots of homeless people engaging in fellatio. You go over there and it's like they get their magazines like 3 years late, you know? You go over there and the Apprentice died, dead and crash. It's just stuff that is like so outdated over there. So I have the choice between going to there or going to the Safeway. The Safeway, which becomes, and you know that thing about the Safeway people greeting you by,
Here you go, Mr. Emerson. Your Safeway card has saved you $3. First of all, I hate the goddamn Safeway card. I hate it with every fiber of my being.
So don't use it.
No, but I resent
it. You save so much money.
Okay, just lower your goddamn prices. That's my whole thing. People pay with plastic anyway. They've already got your information. You know what I mean? If you pay with Visa, they already know who you are. They already know your name, your address.
Not everybody pays with credit card. This way they can track everybody.
Yeah, I'm saying it pisses me off. They should just do that then. They should just say, you know what, we're trying to get a bunch of demographic information so we can plague you with advertisements that you don't want or need in any way. They should quit trying to pretend like they're trying to pass savings along to me. They wanted to pass savings along to me. You know, they just lower the prices. Anyway, so what was I talking about? Oh, and that thing of where you go, here you go, Mr. Peterson. Thank you. It's overly familiar and it's creepy. You know what I mean? So, Safeway. Although, can I just tell you this? Matt and I were it was Albertsons, right? We were at Albertsons on Friday. We were going to Mile Night at Trey Yanto's. Do a little poker. So we're stopping at Albertsons. Let me tell you about why we were at Albertsons first and foremost, because Grace and Glory, our brand new, our two most recent 1080 girls, of whom there are hot photos on the website, by the way. And I would not say that were it not the case. I mean, it's pretty amazing, actually. I actually got an email from a guy named Tim a while back, and it just said, "Sweet Jesus Almighty." And then he said, I have to go now. And it was Tim. So you check those out. Grace and Glory at rickemerson.com. So Grace and Glory bring us a pizza on Friday because they're good people. In addition to having gigantic, voluminous breasts, they bring us a pizza, right? And so we're going to Man Night.
A monstrous, like, huge, all meat from Rocco's. From Rocco's.
And if you know Rocco's, like two slices, a whole meal there. You're done eating for the day. So they bring us the whole pizza. There's like two, three slices gone. Matt and I, we'll take the pizza to Man Night. Leave it on my desk, we're off doing a few things, come back like 10 minutes later, pick up the pizza, box suspiciously lighter. Open it up. Inside completely gone. Steve Taylor, the board op in the afternoon, looked suspiciously well fed, though.
He ate it?
I can't. Well, I'll put it to you this way,
Sarah. He's the only person here.
I will put it to you this way. I didn't see him eating it, but I can see him eating it. You know what I'm saying? All right, so anyway, so Matt and I stop at Albertsons on the way to Trace, buy ourselves some chicken wings, buy ourselves some chicken tenders there. Buying chicken tenders, I need to get some coffee. I stop at the Starbucks inside Albertsons. I don't like to do that kind of thing, but I was low on caffeine, and Trey only has fruity hazelnut decaf. So I stop at the Albertsons, Starbucks there, get myself the large coffee, try to tip the girl behind the counter because she was very helpful, and she was, you know, I caught her in the middle of cleaning, and, you know, she tolerated all my stupid jokes as I was engaging in ham-handed attempts to impress her.
And she was like, think about it, too. It was like, you know, can I get a large coffee?
She was
like, bam, boom.
Totally polite, so I go to, and I don't really tip unless the person deserves it, but I, you know, she was operating under a lot, you know, hectic conditions, got me the coffee right away. That was very cool about it. I try to tip her. She won't take the dollar. And I'm like, well, why? No. I'm telling this is a tip for you. And she's like, no, we can't get tips. And I said, what do you mean? Like no one ever tips you? She said, no, we're not allowed to take tips. So, and apparently it's not just Albertsons, it's Safeway too. So Safeway and Albertsons.
Oh, yeah, if it's inside of a store.
Well, what the hell kind of nonsense is that? What kind of retarded backwater gibberish is that? You can't tip somebody at a Starbucks if it's inside. So I asked the people at Safeway about it. And I said, hey, if I want to tip the Starbucks guys over there, right over there inside your Safeway, can I tip them? And they said, no, you can't. So people who work at a Starbucks, because people who work at service level jobs in this country just aren't screwed enough, right? Like, you just don't have it bad enough. You're trying to support yourself by working at a coffee shop somewhere. Not, I mean, disrespect to Starbucks in general, but I'm just saying, you know, nobody's living the American dream making double half-calf mochas for people. You know what I mean? So, you're not buying yourself a swimming pool on that. So it's not bad enough that they get screwed like nine ways to Tuesday, a million other ways. Now they're not allowed to be tipped. And I asked at Safeway, I said, why am I not allowed to tip the Starbucks woman? And they said, we offer it as a customer service that you don't tip them. So apparently I'm supposed to be flattered that they've taken away my option of tipping as a customer. I am supposed to thank Safeway and Albertsons for removing yet another choice of mine. It's not enough they gotta creep my ass out by referring to me in an overly familiar fashion by my last name, like we're the bestest of pals and went to Vassar together. No. No, now they've actually gotta forbid me from tipping if I feel the customer service is exemplary. They've actually gotta remove my choices, give me fewer choices and options as a customer, and then expect me to be goddamn grateful for it. Pack of retarded gibbons running that place. Jesus. So I tipped the girl anyway. So, you know, Albertsons and Beaverton, you can go shove it, because I tipped her anyway when you weren't looking. I'm not going to identify her or give any identifying characteristics, but she got a tip from me despite your retarded and barbaric attempts to screw her out of additional income. Bitches. Just, I mean, it's just, you know, just it's not a world of men. You know, it's, and here's the other thing about that. It's not like you're really drawn from the high end of the gene pool when you employ people at a supermarket anyway. So when you get somebody there who's doing a good job, who actually is competent and does their job well, you gotta, you know, get a little something, something. Little reward them a little bit. You know, because most of those people, it's like, you know, there's two or three genes short. You know what I mean? You got the guys there that, you know, they got club foot of the brain, most of those people who are working at that checkout. Let me just talk to you about this. You want prima facie evidence of this? I don't know if they're doing this at the Safeways where you live. Are they doing this at your supermarket where they got that big card table full of books they're selling for a dollar? You know what I'm talking about? Albertsons and Safeway are doing this thing where you bring in books you're not reading anymore, like the when you come in to buy your groceries, you donate books that you're no longer reading. And then other shoppers buy them for a dollar, and it goes to, like, you know, breast cancer, or, you know, get to, you know, cure somebody's gout or something. So the deal is, if you're a Safeway customer, when you come in the shop, you just bring in a grocery bag of books from your library, books from your house you don't read anymore, and then other people buy them for a dollar. So I was looking at this, and I like to read, like to buy myself a book now and again. So I'm looking at the books that are on sale at my Safeway, and it's like endless rows of like fuchsia and pink romance novels, you know? The few things that aren't Tom Clancy novels. I picked one of them up, by the way. This is what the people in my neighborhood are reading. I purchased this at the, I purchased this book right here. You hear that? I purchased this at the Safeway near my house. This is a book entitled Enchanted Ecstasy. This is a paperback romance novel. This is what the people in my neighborhood are apparently reading to amuse themselves. It's by Constance O'Banion. And the front shows a woman with long, flowing hair, and then there's a man with rippled, muscular bronze skin, and he is, of course, wait for it, what is he doing? He's ripping open her bodice. And the tagline for Enchanted Ecstasy is this: her spirit was as wild and untamed as the land she came from. Let's read a little bit of this, shall we? "Come here, Malaya," Kane said in a soft voice. She stood on shaky legs, calling on all her courage, and stepped out of her darkened corner. Kane drew in his breath as his eyes took in the perfection of her body. Before him stood the most beautiful woman he'd ever seen. He was silent for so long that Malaya raised her head and looked into his eyes. Seeing the adoration there, she froze. Kane walked slowly toward her and reached out to draw her body into his arms. Malaya's senses reeled as she felt his torso press roughly against hers. Then his lips moved over her face and his hands over her flesh. He could feel her trembling. "Don't be frightened," he coaxed, his hot breath caressing her ear. "I will not harm you." Kane searched her eyes and saw their fever-bright glow as he aroused a need deep within her womanhood. That was the look he'd hoped for. All right, there you go. There's Enchanted Ecstasy.
It's just getting good. You have to keep
Constance. Why are you subjecting us to this?
All right, well, let's read some more.
Is this a book before afternoon nap?
It really is.
It's Rick's story hour.
No, I mean, this is the kind of retards that live in my neighborhood. Everything on the shelf was either...
You got to tread a little lightly. My mother loves romance novels.
Everything on the table was either like a true crime book about OJ, or it was this. Kane grabbed her and held her so tightly she could scarcely breathe. He said, "You are the most obstinate, opinionated woman I have ever come up against. One day I will either break you or you will break me." His words were harsh, but the tone of his voice was almost pleading. "I must go now," she said. "Clay will be wondering what has happened to me." "To hell with Clay," Kane said as his lips sought and found Malaya's. All of Malaya's objections went for naught as she became soft in his arms. His mouth moved across her face to nibble at the lobe of her delicate ear, and Malaya could not suppress the feeling of delight that spread throughout her body. "I want you, Malaya, and I will have you one way or another," he murmured softly in her ear. Name your terms, and I will abide by them. Have you forgotten I already turned down your offer to make me your mistress, she whispered. Yet still I had you as my own, he reminded her, as his hand slid over her breast, causing her to catch her breath. Malaya knew if she didn't find a way to save herself, Cain would destroy her. I don't want this, she said. Please let me go. You want it, woman, he said, capturing her head and looking down into her face. I know your body has been awakened, and you want me as much as I want you. Another exciting edition of Enchanted Ecstasy by Constance O'Banion. We'll be back with the top five. Stay there.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
What's wrong with you?
So I asked what's wrong with Malaya not seeing that Cain is the man for her. That Clay, he could never love her the way that Cain can with his rough embrace and turgid manhood. Here's Sarah with the traffic.
I-5 South. Still seeing no problems from the Markham Bridge as you head down toward 205 eastbound on the Banfield. No problems from out to 205 inbound. Seeing a bit of slowing as you head from 12th to the I-5 merge. I'm Sarah Dillon. That's your commuter update on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Got an opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. I'm going to roll today's top five in just a moment. Top five Tom Petty songs of all time. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend, once and future sales guy, Trey Yant. How are you, man?
What's going on, dude?
What do you got, brother?
Hey, two quick things. A, rumor has it that I have to learn some guitar solo for some song I heard.
Oh, yeah. And I don't want to give away what it is, but, you know, at the listener party, which is coming up Thursday, October 30th, we're doing two songs. We're doing the new Tim Riley Fetcher song, which is called Gene Simmons Took My Girl. And we're doing a second song, which shall remain nameless. We're going to keep it a surprise.
Okay.
But
at some point in time, you will tell me since I haven't had to learn it.
Well, maybe.
I'm like the last few times where, hey, dude, what are you doing tomorrow night?
Yeah. Can you learn this solo in 4 minutes?
Yeah.
I'll try to slide you the appropriate information
later
today so you can learn.
Number two, I wanted to just say F Matt with 6 years at KOTK today.
This F Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
Is that who? Who has 6 years? Is that you, Matt, today?
Matt Peterson, 6 year anniversary today. He probably didn't even know it.
Yeah, actually, I did know. Today is exactly 6 years from when the station came online.
Excellent. Well, congratulations.
Classic country. My brother.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Six years without being fired in radio. What the hell,
yeah,
man?
Well, exactly. I
wanted to thank you guys for staying so late the other night at poker. That was really nice of you.
We went there at like 7. We were there like 2:30 in the morning.
We're still going home.
Yeah, and we're getting really loopy. You know, I got a pair of twos. I'm all in! You know, just totally shoving all the... Richard Nunn, I want to say this. Richard Nunn, the first hand of the night, he draws three aces, and he lost. Lost on three aces.
Yeah, I took him down later that. So.
The two best hands of the night were the Richard Nunn. His first hand, he gets three aces, gets the pants beaten off him, and then later, he plays the entire hand and goes all in without even looking at his cards and won.
That was pretty good.
He went all in without even looking at the cards. He said, I'm not even going to look. I'm all in. And then he won.
Know. Taking $16 from Matt on the second to last hand of the night, I kind of enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, actually.
Thursday night, we're on?
Thursday night, yeah. Brother. And yeah. I'll slide you the info about the guitar solo.
All right, guys. See ya.
All right, there you go. There's Trey from sales. Excellent. Good stuff. All right, here's your top five.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Wah! Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous,
counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I can find you.
Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Well, he is an all-American rock and roll icon, and you may not realize just how many songs he's created until you start narrowing them down. Tom Petty turns the big 5-0, 50 years old today. And we celebrate his life and music with these, the top 5 Tom Petty songs of all time, with honorable mention going to The Last DJ.
What don't need to change?
Great song.
There goes The Last DJ.
You know,
who plays what he wants to play.
It's just a great song. And
says what he wants to say.
For him to be writing a song this strong at the age of 50 when he could be coasting. This guy could be coasting on his laurels. But this is one of the best songs he has ever written. It has a special meaning, I think, to people who work in radio or are big radio fans. It's got that kind of rock and roll sort of anger to it. It's a great song. It's a great, great, great song. I mean, this alone, you know.
At number 5, Tree Falling.
Did you say Tree Falling?
Oh, I meant Tree Falling.
Man. Talk about one of the great rock albums of all time, Full Moon Fever.
Notice that the older he gets, the more and more he sounds like Dylan.
It's true.
Sarah and I both just said it at the exact same time in here.
I mean, what a beautiful song. The definition of instant classic. Great, put to great effect in Jerry Maguire. Just a beautiful song. This album is perfect, flawless, front to back. Not a weak moment on this album.
Ventura Boulevard.
Great song.
And at number 4, The Waiting.
My friend Todd has this thing he says about how for a song to be brilliant, it has to be about everything and nothing at the same time, which is this song. It's about everything and nothing all at once. Because it's like, insert yourself here, you know? Insert your own situation here.
Yeah, growing up, Petty actually did one of my favorite videos. It was the whole Alice in Wonderland knockoff.
Yeah, don't come around here no more.
That was one of the best videos that he did.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna chase a couple women around.
The waiting is the hardest part. I don't care how old you are or what you're doing in your life, that song means something to you. Brilliant.
And at number 3, Refugee.
Oh. What a great song this is. I saw Amy Ray at the Crystal Ballroom last year. This was her encore. Just a brilliant song.
Tell me why you would lay there reveling in your abandon. You don't make no difference for me, baby. Everybody's had to fight to be.
Number 2, American Girl.
Mike Chase pushed really hard for this to be number 1. You could make an argument for that. Everybody know.
Make it last all night. She was an American girl.
And at number 1, I Won't Back Down.
To me, the definitive Tom Petty song. Even though it was off his solo record, it's definitive.
Well, I won't back down.
Listen to that groove.
No, I won't.
Little Ringo Starr there on drums.
You can stand me.
You know, the other thing he's forgotten for more than anything is all the stuff that he did with the Traveling Wilburys.
Yeah.
And a lot of great music.
People don't remember either that, I forget what album it was. I want to say it was Damn the Torpedoes, but probably not. Where the record company wanted to raise the price of CDs, and they were going to use his CD as the first one to jack the price up $2, and he locked the master tapes up in a safe in his house and wouldn't give them to him until they gave it to him in writing that they wouldn't raise the price. Put his whole career on the line there. Great stuff. Great, spare, sparse drumming and guitar work, but every note, every fill, perfect.
I got just one light.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland. We'll wrap it up when we get back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080. KOTK.
Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
You don't hear the phrase quivering loins often enough. The tent flap was pushed aside, and Kane watched as Malaya entered the teepee. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Join us tomorrow when our guest will be Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine and from the San Diego Zoo, Joan Embry. We want to thank John Bisping today, Jolie from the front desk, of course. Once and again, how do you say that? Trey. Anthony Hopkins, Ed Asner, David Carradine, Tom Petty, John McCain, Condoleezza Rice, David Blaine, etc. I something else I was going to get to, but I don't know. Well, I know what it was. So, we have a listener party coming up a week from this Thursday, so I do want to say, in addition to performances by the Tim Riley Factor, performance by The Low, headlining act by Richard Cheese and Lounge Against the Machine, the return of Christina Carlson, the whole staff there. Oh, by the way, in response to a couple questions about this, makeup, yes, masks, no, because casino with the stealing and the, hey, I've got a gun, give me all your money. So, yeah, no masks there. We're going to be giving away the stand-up video game. We're going to be giving away a bunch of other stuff. We will have the very first batch of Rick Emerson bumper stickers there at the listener party. We will be debuting the first batch of KOTK of Rick Emerson bumper stickers at the listener
party.
And
we can almost guarantee that if you're not there, you won't get one.
Yeah, so you want to be there for that. The Rick Emerson Show is produced today and every day by Sarah Dillon for Hot Talk 1080 KOTK and the news from Tim Riley, executive producer 1F Matt Peterson. As always, thank you for listening. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Like us next. Phil Hendry will be back in 21 hours. Be safe. See you tomorrow, y'all. Bye.
There goes the last DJ.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.